What I discovered after, gosh, teaching people for 2 decades how to hear God's voice, I began to realize that, wait, there are really distinct ways in which he interacts with us, and guaranteed he's interacting with you. You just haven't had that elevated in your life to know that that's how he's interacting with you.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to this week's what's going to be an extraordinary episode of Live Your Best Life with me, of course, Liz Wright. And my beautiful special guest joining me for today's conversation is a very accomplished, very loved woman. She is known for her kindness, for how encouraging and authentic she is, how inspirational she is. She's extremely accomplished. Let me just read some of her accomplishments to you. She's the author of 13 books. She's a sought-after communicator. She speaks all over the place. She's head of Bethel's Women's Ministry. And alongside her husband, Ben, she is the co-founder of Truth to Table Ministries. And in her spare time, she's the mum of 4 boys. She's quite the woman. And her new book, which I cannot put down, is liberating people all over the place. It's called Created to Hear God. And the keys that we're going to talk about today, seriously, they will help you understand your life and how you're wired intentionally by the Lord to really clearly hear him. And honestly, I've been learning so much reading the content. It's my joy to welcome into the conversation with me today, Havilah Cunnington. Havilah, welcome.
Yay. Thank you for having me. It is an honor to be here. And I could just hear you with your accent speak forever. Just, I sound way more accomplished with your narrative than I feel. So it's an honor to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy you could join us. Okay. Like I said to you before we jumped on together live, I love this book. It's so important. The 4 keys, I mean, we can jump there in a moment. I wanted to give people a little bit of a backstory to start with, but the 4 keys that you cover, it's life transforming. It just simplifies your understanding, doesn't it? And helps you go deeper in your own relationship with the Lord. Okay, but just to give people a backstory, you grew up in a church setting surrounded, it was very moving actually reading your story, surrounded by people that were always talking about, I can hear God, I've just heard him say this, da da da. And you couldn't for a long time, which of course birthed in you such a compassion and understanding and a desire to help people actually be able to hear the Lord themselves, hence the book that you've written. So can we start there? Will you give people a little bit of your backstory?
Yeah. So I am a church kid. I was born in, I feel like I was born in a church, but I was born to a dad who was an evangelist. And so he traveled about 8 months out of the year. And I had a mom and a twin sister. And so we were on the road with him about 6 months out of the year. And he traveled in all kinds of faith communities, conservative, charismatic, missions. I was actually in England at the age of 7. I remember being there. We did a missions trip to England and Germany and Ireland, and he did a ministry movement thing. And so here I am. I'm around this, and my dad's very prophetic. And I didn't know that was unique until I've gotten much older. I didn't realize my dad wasn't that classic, thus saith the Lord. He wasn't one of those that kind of built his confidence on people thinking how amazing he was in hearing God's voice. I really felt like he had this humility and this authenticity, but he really did hear God's voice for others and would prophesy over many people. And I would sit there as the little girl and watch him prophesy one after the other for hours. I mean, hours. And I remember even moments when women would go home and wake up their kids or wake up their husband and bring them back to the church. And my dad would prophesy over them. And I watched them weep. I watched them encounter God. I watched my dad have this prophetic gift of kind of unpacking the pain of the past, bringing them into the present with a God that was present with them, loved them, and would heal them. And so it was really profound. And I just was amazed by it. There was nothing about it that turned me off or felt like this was showy or manipulative, felt very authentic. But when you're around that, you immediately begin to realize, I don't hear God like that. And so he must be having this audible voice, and I'm not having this audible voice. And so I began to think, I don't hear God's voice. And I didn't think I did. And ultimately, that was kind of confirmed because I didn't have this audible voice following me. But it also was kind of based in this painful story that not a lot of people knew. And that was that growing up in about third grade, I was tested for learning disabilities and was revealed that I was dyslexic. I had reading and comprehension issues. Later would be diagnosed with ADHD. Again, all of those are things we battle. I don't partner with it, but obviously it's something that's in my world. And so I just assumed I was learning deficient in this area. I must be learning deficient in this area. So I felt lost in school, and then I kind of felt lost in church. And I was the kid that was friends with all the leaders' kids. And I watched those kids just have a terrible time because either they had to mimic their parents, and when they mimicked them, they were praised, or they wrote off faith altogether and said, I don't want anything to do with this. So I was very much in this polarizing experience. And so when it came to hearing God's voice, I just assumed it was for those that were unique and special and loved God the most, and God loved them the most. And I wasn't that. And so I was very happy to play a very quiet role in the back and not really pursue that. I did not know, but years later, realizing how much pain that was to sit in a room and watch hundreds and thousands of people encounter God and me not experience that. And so it really came down to when I began to hear God's voice, which is a whole nother story. I began to have this passion and mandate for people that were loved God with their whole heart, wanted to hear God more than anything, was willing to sit for years in environments where everybody seemed to be engaging with this divine voice, and they didn't. And yet they knew it was real, they knew it was true. They just were relegated to feeling left out and hoping that one day they would kind of be sprinkled with the supernatural grace to hear God. And so I went after that. And so I started to unpack, what does it mean to hear God's voice? Is there only one way? Does it sound like this? Does it look like this? And what I really found and what I discovered after, gosh, teaching people for 2 decades how to hear God's voice, I began to realize that, wait, there are really distinct ways in which he interacts with us. And guaranteed, he's interacting with you. You just haven't had that elevated in your life to know that that's how he's interacting with you.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm so thankful. Obviously that was a very difficult journey that you went through. And thank you for your vulnerability because it will help a lot of people, I'm sure. And I'm sure it already is, because there's a lot of people, I know people, particularly a lot of leaders' kids, growing up where we've had these conversations and it's been, they don't hear him in the same way. They're not their parents, they're very much themselves. And so it's extremely important revelation that you've an experience that you've discovered as a result of your own life. So, okay, so that's what I wanted to ask you next was really, can you give us an overview of the four main ways that you have found people hear God?
Yes. So, when we start to get into this, people immediately say, don't box God in.
Right, right,
Don't
right.
limit God. There's no formula to God. And
Yeah.
so I say this with, there's this great book that sold millions of copies called The 5 Love Languages. And the goal of the 5 Love Languages was that people would take a test, and the experience was, how do I receive love and how do I give love? Not limited to, but a starting place. And that's really what this is. It's a starting place. You will experience all of these in your life and hopefully others that I have not even shared. So that's the goal. But for a lot of us, when we don't know where to begin, we don't know how to grow. And so I want to give everybody a starting point so then they can go as far as they want. So I began to minister prophetically at the age of about 17. And I had an identical twin sister, I do. And her and I would travel up the California coast, and we would be invited into youth groups and camps, and we would pray over our age, guys and girls, and begin to minister. And it amazed me because it was so real, so tangible, and I had made it to be this huge, magnificent, glory cloud moment, which I believe in and have had. But ultimately, I was shocked at how simple it was. And so then we began to do that for many, many years. Like, I mean, a decade where I would just go and minister over people prophetically. And then I was asked, can you teach people how to hear God's voice? And I started with those kind of core concepts, which I'm sure you believe as well, core foundational things of God is always speaking. You know, God is a communicator. The Bible is, he wrote a whole book so that we would have his words because he's a communicator. Secondly, it's not if I can hear God, but it's how I hear God. And I did a little, but for me, it was, I had asked the question for decades, God, or at least a decade, God, what are you saying? God, what are you saying to me? And what I found was that's the secondary question we should be asking. The first question is, how was I uniquely designed to hear your voice? Because once we know our unique design, then we're not comparing. We're not feeling like we are boxed in. We're unique. So what I found was that there were four distinct ways in which the Holy Spirit interacts with us, not limited to, but a beginning place. So I kind of have just deemed them as these names. You're not going to be able to go in scripture and find all of them, but I hope for the sake of understanding, we can use these terms. So the first one I would say is the hearer. And the hearers are those that hear God through words, phrases, conversations. They're the ones that journal. You know, it's almost like a play-by-play. God interacts with them and they go to hear and they wake up in the morning and God says this and they write it down. And then they read this book and God highlights this and then they hear it, thus saith the Lord. You know, God says, I'm bringing you to new places or you're supposed to go here. And they can really tangibly say it was a phrase, it was a word, it was a conversation. Then you have, and that's kind of the traditional way in which we were taught. If you're in an evangelical or a charismatic world, we were taught that the Lord speaks. Like when Samuel heard from God, you know, Eli the priest said, go lay down, ask the Holy Spirit, you know, ask God, excuse me, what he's saying, and just say, speak, for your servant is listening. So that's kind of how we were taught. And so this is traditional, and a lot of us think this is the only way God speaks, but it's not true. And then you have your seers, and your seers are those that God speaks to through pictures, images, dreams, night dreams, daydreams, visions, just even colors, just little like imagery that God is encountering you with and showing you his reality, his nearness, and that he's really awakened you to something. And often when a seer gets a dream, they're instantly filled with faith for it. They have a faith that is tangible and it kind of outlasts the forward thinking that they need. It helps them live in the present, but hopefully focus on the future. And then you have your feelers. Now, your feelers are interesting because growing up, you know, I saw a lot of emotion in the evangelical world. I saw a lot of tears and even, you know, I'm in America, so we had a lot of screaming. We had a lot of running around. For all of my foreigners, I know yes. And there's a time and place for all of it. But I saw a lot of people have these kind of emotional experiences. And in certain parts of the church, that's emotionalism and should be feared. And you know, you don't want to get caught up in that. But then I would tangibly see that God was interacting with people and they were hearing his heart. They were carrying his heart. And so feelers are those that God interacts with a deep spiritual, emotional experience. They cry his tears. They feel his heart. They could go into environments and they feel it's either good or bad. They just know it. And even as a little boy or a little girl, they remember going in environments where it felt good or it felt bad. And oftentimes feelers are incredible intercessors because God gives you his heart, and then he wants you to give it back to him. And that's the gift of intercession. So you have your feelers. And then lastly, which I am and didn't, I think this really was revelatory for me because it's the evangelical world that I live in. I'm a knower. And knowers are those that God interacts with in a like intuitive, a deep knowing. It's just kind of, I know that I know. It's intuitive. It's a sense. It's a clarity. And usually it's built through a history. You know, Paul took Timothy instinctively. There was a supernatural intuition that led him into the next thing. And so for a lot of us knowers, we don't have the feeling and the seeing and the hearing, but we know that we know. And when we know, there's not much that can shake us from that place. And so what we found was that those four areas, seer, feeler, hearer, knower, that you probably land in one of those as your kind of primary way in which God interacts with you. You'll use all four. You may be bilingual or trilingual or quadlingual, but ultimately it's a starting place. And so what happens is in a lot of environments, we elevate one of them. So when you're in the charismatic, we elevate the thus saith the Lord and the feeling. Right? When we are in a missional or conservative movement, we elevate the, you know, the word, and the word will set you free, and that's all you need, right? It's that knowing. And so depending on what environment you're in, it's elevated, but ultimately there are those unique individuals in each area and in each environment. And so knowing who you are really helps.
Oh, it's just brilliant. It's brilliant. Yeah, when I was reading through your book, it was very clear to me that I'm a seer. When I was reading the strengths and the weaknesses and your way of helping to really clarify, and for some people that might be very obvious. I've just never looked through that lens before, the lens that you provide for us in the book. It's so helpful because then you can be very intentional, can't you, in how you develop your own relationship with the Lord. That was what I was going to ask you. Two things. I want to ask you like 500 questions now. Anyway, but I wanted to ask you, are there specific easy questions that people can ask of themselves as they begin to read your content and just assess sort of, where am I wired here? What is me? Yeah.
Yes. Well, first of all, we do have a test online you can take, which does kind of start it. But even that
Okay.
sometimes doesn't give you that aha moment of that's me. And so there's a couple ways.
Yeah.
Now, again, you kind of alluded to it, but you've got your strengths and your weaknesses. And in the book, I pull apart strengths, weaknesses, and areas to grow and how to actually build this in your life. But what I found is it's really important to go to when was the time, the first moment you interacted with the Holy Spirit? Was it in your childhood? Was it somewhere where you were by yourself? Were you out in nature? Did you have a dream? Did somebody come and give you a prophetic word? What was that awakening moment? And often it's linked to the way that God interacts with you. So you knew that he was real. You don't know how, but you knew it and you gave your heart to him. Or you began to weep and you felt his love for you. And that's connected to maybe you're a feeler. Or maybe you had a vision, or a dream that woke you up and went, this is what I'm called to. So depending on what it is, there are two ways I would primarily talk about, which is a lot of people have a hard time knowing which is their primary, because if you're prophetic, you're using all four. And so I kind of like to say, go back to when it was just you and him. Go back to the no mic, no stage, no teaching, no training, and just go back to how you encountered him by yourself and ask, when was that first part? But then, secondly, which is a funny way, but it's really good, is what actually offends you? Which sounds funny, but what was the area that actually hurt you the most? I remember being in Australia and I was in a room, a green room with a girl, a young, beautiful single woman on staff. And I said, share your story. Tell me about yourself. So she starts sharing the story. And she said, I was this girl that kind of gave my heart to Christ. I'm a first generation. I really wanted to live my life for him. And there was this great guy that came in the church. And we were just friends, but all of a sudden people started saying, are you guys, is there something going on? And she goes, no, we're just friends. And finally, one day, our pastor pulled her up and said, listen, I had a dream about you guys getting married. And I don't know why, but I'm just going to submit that to you. But I saw you getting married. Well, fast forward, they never date. He meets somebody, marries the other girl, and she is devastated and says, why did this affect me so much? It's just a stupid dream. But what it came down to is that she's a seer. And so when somebody used that visionary part of her to see her future and have faith for that, it awakened something in her that was different than thus saith the Lord, or I know it, or I hear God saying. It was like she saw it too. And so what are the areas you've been most hurt in the prophetic can sometimes link to what you are. For me, I just felt like a heathen. I would be in these emotional encounters and people are crying and weeping. And I'm thinking, do I even know God? Because I'm not having any of this. And yet there was authority and anointing when I ministered. So there was, and I felt close to him personally, but I felt kind of left out in the room. So depending on what it is, you use your pain as a pointer to what you might actually want to identify and grow in your own life.
Yeah, that was super helpful when I was reading that part of the book. So from I really identify with the illustration that you just used then, because obviously I'm a seer. And if I get a vision from the Lord, it's exactly what you're saying. I mean, literally, I was reading your book, Havilah, going, yes, this is my life for 30 years, you know? And I could see friends and family and other people so clearly. And it's super, super helpful. So yeah, if I have a vision, or when I have a vision from the Lord, faith will ignite inside me so powerfully that I'm now living in the future that I've just seen, as
Wow.
though it's reality. It's so strong, and it's a gift. But I've just had to learn to steward it. So it's what you're saying, because my emotions, my whole being is now engaged with the reality that I've just seen. I've just seen through the lens of God's heart,
Yes,
the
yes.
way that He's seeing it, and that's my wiring to just lock on and birth a vision, bringing forth His dreams into the earth. So that's a strength, but it can also be a weakness if I'm not aware of it. You know, like in that situation, you know, that poor woman was devastated because of the visionary gifting in her being used in a way that was not helpful. You know what I mean? And it really, really hurt her deeply. So I totally get that.
Yeah,
It's really.
we say seers want to change the world. They just don't always want to change their sheets. They
Yeah,
see
we're
all these.
not brilliant at the detail
Yes,
of
or like we want
life.
to. I feel like God wants me to change the world, but we're like, okay, but what's for dinner? Anybody who lives with a seer just wants to be like, what's for dinner? And they're like, I don't know. We're changing the world. And so each one has a unique weakness and a strength, and being aware of that's really important.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that actually. Could you do that for people? Just go through each of the
Yeah.
four and say, okay, top line, these are the strengths, these are the weaknesses, because it will help you guys find yourself in this.
It will. And for me, you know, I've been married for almost 20 years, and we have very different languages. And so even in the spirit, you know, my husband's a feeler. My dad's a feeler. A lot of the men in my life are feelers. And so they would, I mean, we'd go into worship and they'd be crying, and I'd think, is my hard heart? Like, what's going on? But ultimately, knowing that they're feelers, I respect it and love it rather than judge it or feel ashamed by it. So it's very important. So I would say, as a feeler, one of the powerful things that you have is you can encounter God's heart in a profound way. I mean, you walk into an environment and you know what God is saying, and it's beautiful. An unhealthy feeler can take the room down with them. An unhealthy feeler cannot function unless everything feels right. And so a healthy feeler understands that this might not be theirs, that God's giving it to them to give it back to Him. And so I always ask the question, did I walk in here with this? As a feeler, did I walk in here with this? Was I already dealing with this? Was this something I was carrying? Or when I walked in the room, did I encounter it? And if I encountered it at that moment, then God, what do you want me to do with this? Do you want me to share? Do you want me to pray? What is it? And then ultimately, I love the quote, you know, we pray until there's joy. So we give it away. So an unhealthy feeler takes the room. A healthy feeler helps everybody in the room understand the heart of God, or at least connects the heart of God to what He's doing. A healthy hearer, man, there is nothing more powerful than thus saith the Lord. There is nothing more powerful than God. His words being spoken to us in His voice. But an unhealthy hearer, you overwhelm the message by all the words. You know, you're the one that wants to share everything, and everybody wants to say, we're not your mom. We don't care. Like, it's great. I don't want to read your 15 pages of journal. I love that God said that to you, but give me the main point. So as a hearer, we want to get really clear on what's the main point and don't overwhelm the listener with all the words. It really can detract from your authority and your impact. And then you have your seers. Now, we did a test for 150,000 people. 150,000 people, we gave them the prophetic personality test, is what I call it, prophetic personality. And we found that overarching, there was like 68% of the globe was feelers, but only about 17% were seers. So seers have a very unique role on the earth, and it can be very lonely. And so what's profound about a seer is everything that's been built, everything that we have now, is because someone saw it before it was in existence and they put their faith and work toward it. So it's really profound. Everybody needs a seer in their life. But a seer's weakness is that they can grow weary in well-doing, and they can almost grow impatient with people that don't see what they see because they keep sharing what they're seeing, and everyone's like, yeah, but you have to keep the people motivated. And so you're kind of this Moses mentality of there's a promised land. Trust me, we're gonna get there. And so we can kind of give up on people. And so seers have to find methods within their everyday to encounter God and not live in the future, but also be able to connect with the present. And that's what your people around you need the most. And then lastly, you have your, where am I at? Oh, knowers. So your knower strength is that, man, a knower when they lock in a truth, nothing moves them. They don't need encounters. They don't need this, and this, although they'll encounter it. They are what they know the truth, and the truth will set them free, and they lock in. So knowers are they're the foundation of our faith communities. I mean, they just show up, they do it, they build it. They're incredible. But the weakness of a knower, and all my knowers that are listening to this, you can have a tendency to disengage in spiritual experiences and environments, and you can elevate your spouse or your pastor or your mom and understand that you're actually disengaging from that ability to hear God. Even if it doesn't speak your direct language, it doesn't mean you can't encounter him. So really being aware of those unique elements. So as a knower, you are not a heathen, but you also need to go a little deeper, and that's part of being a knower.
Oh, just fantastic, Havala. It's so helpful. I could listen to you for hours on it. So, just in brief, how can people develop into maturity?
Well, we practice, right? I'm sure you understand. In the prophetic, we practice. And so nothing comes formed. And so what I like to say is we don't force feed. We actually try to practice in these ways. So when I minister prophetically, right? So I get to go around the world and preach in different areas. I try to distinctly use those four ways in which people hear to engage the room. So I might say, I really feel like God wants to encounter you. Now, I might, as a knower, not have that sense, but I know there are feelers in the room that need to hear that, and that's the heart of God. I might say to somebody else, listen, you know that you know, and that is enough. And that engages my knower. So having, I think being willing to practice in a way that is humble and submitted to the other people are not the same as you, and using that diverse language. And so not getting stuck in thus saith or I see or I feel, but being able to open up and practice. So even with my kids, I have four boys, four in 5 years, and they're all teenagers. And so I don't just say, what did God say to you? What did God say to you? I go, hey, did you feel something? Or what do you know? Or, and so giving that kind of space to, I think as us, we can't change others. We can only change ourselves. And so being willing to change our verbiage for the sake of others to open up the door for other types of people.
Yeah, it's so good. And it really helps us love other people well, doesn't it? And re make room for the rich diversity within the body of Christ and the unique way that we've
Exactly.
all been created to have relationship with the Lord. Your language gives us permission to be able to be authentically ourselves and understand ourselves, understand our relationship with the Lord more clearly and have expression, authentic expression, and understand each other. I just think it's Yeah, like I said at the very beginning, it's liberating. It's so brilliant. Okay. So, guys, we are going to put the link underneath the show so you can click on and you can find Havala's book because it's really, really important reading. So, Havala, just in finishing, can I ask you to pray for everybody?
I would love to. And I do want to say my books are on Amazon. So if you live around, it's in England, it's in Canada, it's in Australia. So those books are all available for anyone that's listening. I
Brilliant.
have The Creator Your God. I also read it. It's the only book that I've actually read out loud. So please grab that. And then I did put together a journal to develop it more. And so if you're like, I got it, but I want to develop it, we actually have a daily journal that you can take, and it's a journey in hearing God. So Lord, I thank you
Brilliant.
for every man and woman. I thank you for Liz and the powerful voice that she has on the earth right now, and what you're doing in her and through her. And I thank you for this opportunity to partner with her and all of us that are listening. God, we are your kids. Like, you love us. You didn't put us on here to fill a role or, make sure that there's those that you're favorites and those that aren't. No, we each have a place with you and to be connected to you. And so I pray for every person right now that just got free, that just felt permission to be a knower or a feeler, a seer, a hearer. I ask that they would take that into their day. They would say, thank you, God, for how you made me. I'm not going to compare. I'm not going to put down. I'm not going to criticize. I'm going to experience the reality that you knew me, even in my mother's womb, and you created me. So I pray for profound clarity. I ask that even the next 24 to 48 hours, as they jump into seeing these four unique filters, these prophetic personalities, that you would reveal how you're interacting with them and others around them. Take them deeper. And I pray that everybody in our churches, everybody in our homes, everybody in our cities would know that they can hear your voice, Holy Spirit. Help us lead them to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We agree. We agree. And I pray that this week you will go into a level of relationship with Jesus beyond anything that you've known. You really will go deep into him. I know you will. And I know as you read Havelaar's book, you will, because it really does help you. Like we've been saying, it helps you understand who you are in him and be able to communicate, hear him, see him, feel him, know what he's saying to you in a completely different way. So, yes, amen, amen. Have the most amazing week, guys. And Havelaar, thank you so much for being with us. You are such a gift to the body of Christ. God bless, guys. Have an awesome week, and I look forward to being with you again next week.
Many people know in their head that they're loved, but the experience of God's love hasn't reached their heart. That's why I wrote my most recent book, Loved. It's a 90-day devotional that gives you language to actually escort you into experiencing the love of God, which is the moment where everything changes for us. So I encourage you, pick up a copy of Love today, and your life will never be the same again.